Coming up, signs that the middle class may never be able to retire. And then why $73,000 seems to be the magic minimum hiring salary. And then an unbelievable salary story. And I coach you up. Let's go. Helping you win at work and in life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. Welcome aboard. More income, more impact is our aim for you. And I'm your coach, counselor, and cheerleader to get you there. Okay. Will the middle class ever be able to retire? Some will, some won't. At Ramsey Solutions, we have real tools, real strategies to help with this. But let's just take a look at the numbers, where we are. The income range that is considered middle class has changed over the last few years. Right now, it is about $30,000 to $90,000 of income for a single American, and then between $52,000 to $156,000 for a three-person family. And so that is technically what is considered middle class. But to give you an idea, if you look back 12 years ago, 2010, the median income for a middle-class family was just under $80,000. That's a three-person family, okay? Now, on top of that, let's look at 40% of workers say their employers do not provide any type of retirement funding or financial education, which I want to pause right there. If you're new to this program, we have a lot of people watching that are brand new, coming in all the time. And if you work for a company that does not have financial education as a benefit, Smart Dollar, if you're a leader in that company or you have a good relationship with your leader, please recommend to them that they check out Smart Dollar, Ramsey Solutions. That is our program that is a financial wellness benefit for companies, and it can literally change your life and the lives of your coworkers. So I just want to add that really quickly. But for so many Americans who have little to no retirement savings, this can be a very discouraging outlook. Is it too late? The answer is no. Is it possible to begin to save for retirement and offset some of my working years? The answer is yes, it can be done. You need discipline and you need a plan. We've got the plan if you've got the discipline. RamseySolutions.com. But I will tell you that in a world where the landscape of work has changed tremendously, people will leave you in a moment's notice. They won't stay with you unless they feel valued, unless they feel fulfilled, and unless they see a path to a better life. Now, I'll break those down, because this comes into play when you talk about retirement planning and why companies that aren't offering this need to figure out a way to do it somehow, some way. And if you can, if it's not advantageous for you as a small business or company to do this, then at least invest in the financial education of your team so that they can invest in themselves. So I want to break those three things down, because this is how the world of work has really changed. I said, first, they need to feel valued. They need to be seen, recognized, rewarded. They need to be fulfilled. They need to see a sense of purpose in their work. And so if they're not in a seat on the bus that has great personal purpose, can you find a seat on the bus where they go, all right, it's a day job, I get it. It's not my long-term prospect. It's not where I ultimately want to be. But for right now, I see tremendous purpose in this day job and what it can do for me financially, or from an educational standpoint. Leaders, you've got to show that value in the position. Not just value them, but show them how they are valuable in their position on the seat of the bus that you have them in, or get them to a different seat. And then increasingly we see that my development, my professional development, thus my opportunities long-term, are of vital importance. This, am I being developed? Am I being trained with the opportunity to get promoted? This is showing up in data that workers care very much about this. In a recent McKinsey study, it was number one ahead of income, because I think they realize income will take care of itself if I have the opportunity to increase my influence, increase my value. So leaders need to understand this. Now, they want a better life. So they're not just thinking, well, I want a good paycheck and I'd like some good traditional benefits. They're literally going, is this job going to set me up to step on that escalator? Or is it the escalator? Steady movement, steady growth. This is what people want. Now, they got to do their part. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, when it comes to retirement savings, you have Gen Z now moving into the workforce. This is the youngest demographic of the workforce in their young 20s. And they're more financially responsible than previous generations. They're anti-debt. They're a big part of what we call this FIRE movement, financially independent, retire early. The difference between the FIRE movement and what I'm talking about is the FIRE movement's all about working yourself to the nub. 60, 70, 80 hours, living on next to nothing. So you all you do is work and you spend nothing. No fun, nothing. Now, will that work? It certainly works. Is it necessary? No. It's not. But this younger generation is all about this. They're going, hey, I want to have a large nest egg. I want to retire early. I think the FIRE movement is misguided. It's immature. And it's unnecessary. And it's a recipe for a lot of frustration. Because if it's all you ever do is work and you don't enjoy life at all, and then the whole goal is to retire at 35, well, yeah, okay, you retire and you don't have to work at all. Sounds great. On the surface, until you're 2 or 3 years in, some of you 6 months in, and you're doing nothing but chilling out and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden you feel like something's missing. What's missing? What's missing is the contribution that we long to make. We want to do something, produce something that's valuable. This is in the human spirit. Can't deny it. No amount of money will fill that very God-given desire to make a difference in this world. It's not going to go away. Can't drown it out. So you can get on track with your finances and not have to work yourself to the nub. How do you do it? You walk the baby steps, the 7 baby steps that we teach at Ramsey Solutions. You can get the book Total Money Makeover. This is a whole new concept to you. You can take Financial Peace, RamseySolutions.com. I've taught the course before. It's a fantastic course. It's going to walk you through step by step how to get control of your money, and then what we call baby step 4 is you're putting 15% away of your income to retirement. But if your company has a 401k and you have no debt, we want you contributing to that. Roth IRA, if you're not contributing the full 15% through your company matches, you can do it. And money does compound in the stock market, by the way. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention, but up and down, but boy, the last couple of days, it was up big. And so you put it in, you keep investing. When the stock market is down, you look at it as, well, I'm getting a steep discount. And I'm going to really make some money when the market goes back up. We are going to, by the way, promote a free tool at RamseySolutions.com called the Retire Inspired Quotient. RIQ is what we call it. And we're going to actually, for the podcast listeners, we're going to put a link in the show notes. The rest of you can go get that tool at Ramsey Solutions. Just search RIQ. Here's what you do. Put in all your current numbers and where you want to be, and we'll give you what you need to be doing to retire. Coming up next, $73,000, the new minimum wage. Hey, if you're a business owner and you don't know your numbers, I hate to say it, but you don't know your business. And when markets are shifting, it's even more important. You've got to do everything you can to set yourself up for success. You don't have to be in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses, including our team here at Ramsey, know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and inventory, so you can actually manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve your margins. Having everything in one place has saved our team hours each week since we made the switch to NetSuite. No more jumping between 3 or 4 different systems. We have quick access to what's going on in our business at all times. NetSuite is a game changer. So head to netsuite.com/Ken to get a product tour today. That's netsuite.com/Ken. We'll be right back. Is $73,000 the new minimum hiring salary? What? Whoa! Pretty interesting stuff. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Here we go, right to the facts, folks. Of the people, by the people, for the people, I give you the facts. According to survey data from the New York Fed, the magic salary number is now $72,873 for the average American. Is anybody else like me right now? Anybody else like me that you see a piece of data like that? I like the headline, 73,000. It's a nice number. But somewhere in the data, the magic salary number where someone will say, I'll make a jump if I'm making the minimum, it's $72,873. Anybody else wonder how they came up with the 873? Just a little side note. Why can't we just round it up? I don't know. That's a jump of nearly $4,000 from a year ago. The New York Fed asks a series of questions related to salary expectations three times a year as a part of their ongoing survey of consumer expectations, including this topic, people's expectations for the wages or salary they'd accept to switch jobs. Now, this is called a reservation wage. Okay? So that's what that is. It just means this is the number, and I would presume it's a minimum. This is the number that I got to get to consider moving. It's the floor, if you will. The data on this particular question is available going back to 2014 when the number was $52,700. So there's just a kind of a real-time look at how inflation actually works. Okay, so 8 years ago, the reservation wage was $52,700. Now, as we get into the details here, no surprise here, but there are large disparities in the reservation wage depending on the demographics. If you break the survey into those who are younger and older than 45 years, so that's kind of the dividing number, right? It shows large and growing difference that leans toward younger people. As recently as 2018, people under the age of 45 had a lower reservation wage than those over 45. Now, that makes sense, right? You're under the age of 45. You're not as experienced. You're not as seasoned. Don't have as much financial responsibility, presumably. And so the reservation wage was lower than people who were over the age of 45. However, I'm going to try to keep my blood pressure low on this. In the most recent data, the average person under 45 is expecting around $8,000 more than the average person over 45. Why not? They've been given ribbons and trophies and told they're amazing their entire freaking little lives. So, of course, they expect to make more than somebody older, more experienced than they do, than they are, rather. By the way, anecdotally, my wife and I were at a school function for one of our kids recently, Alex, and we were talking to a friend of ours who runs a very successful agency. And this was natural conversation. I promise you, I'm not taking the Ken Coleman Show to school events. But she said point blank, I just asked her how her business was going. She said, really good. I said, how's it going with acquiring talent? And she said, quote, it's really hard because all these kids in their young 20s are wanting $100,000 or more and they're not qualified for it. They can't get it in our world. And dude, you know I had some follow-up questions. So all that to say, some anecdotal evidence there on that issue. Now, this is troubling as well. There is a large and persistent gender gap with women's reservation wage under $60,000 and men's at $86,300. And the reason this is a little bit discouraging is because I hear a lot in the media, you know, that women need to be paid more and there's a pay gap, a gender gap, and there is. But the expectations also need to change then. So, you know, equality and fairness and all that stuff is great to have a conversation about it. But it just occurs to me that one of the things that needs to change is the data in this. When they're polling women and women are saying, well, my floor for an expected salary for me to change is 60,000 and men at 86. Now, some of you go, well, Ken, that's because they're being realistic. I get it. But at the same time, how are you upskilling and making sure that someone could look at you and go, okay, this is a dude and this is a woman and she's as qualified or she's more qualified, she's more experienced, blah, 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 blah. And then you hold out there and go, look, you want me, you got to pay me. And in today's world, yes, there are chauvinists and jerks and all the kind of stuff. I completely agree with that. But in today's world, there is such a war for talent between companies that there has never been a better time for an impressive woman to name her value and get her value. But you have to be willing to walk. This is a good old-fashioned form of negotiation. It's not actual negotiation, but I'll give you an example. I had a friend of mine one time that went to one of those big box, you know, electronic stores. Might have been Circuit City we were talking about the other day. Might have been. And he was looking at a big screen TV. And this is you know, probably a decade ago, but it proves my point. And basically what he did was he was looking at the TV and the salesperson was all over him, you know, trying to close the deal. He's like, man, I love the TV. He goes, but I'm not going to pay that much. It's not my budget. I'm not going to pay that much. The guy goes, well, I mean, it's really worth it. And the kid just keeps, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. So he finally goes, do you have your business card? I want to think about it. He goes, well, I'm going to give you something to think about. And the stunned salesman goes, sure. He gives him his card. My buddy pulls out a pen, flips the card over on the back side and writes a number down. Hands it to the kid and says, hey, this is what I can pay and this is what I will pay. So I'm going to take, I got some other errands to run. My number, and he writes his number down, cell number. He says, if you want to sell me this TV for that, your manager wants to sell me this TV for that, then that's what I'll pay. And walked away. He got a phone call. Now, a lot of companies say, oh, we don't do that. And you know what drives me nuts is the no-haggle pricing, like CarMax started it. Brilliant move, by the way. But now everybody does it. And I think it's fantastic. And I don't buy it. I'd go in and do the same thing if I were buying a car right now. This is what I'm going to pay. You know how to get a hold of me. Take it or leave it. And there's no haggling. I just told you the facts. So I say all that to say that I do think it's time for men and women to say, you know what? When I go through a job process, like buying a TV or car, here's what, and they make me an offer, I'm going to go, this is what I could come. If you can pay this, great. I'd love to talk next level. But if you can't pay this, I can't do it. And walk. But you got to be willing to walk. Now, that's the hard part, right? Because it's a job. And if they've offered you a job at one price, but you don't feel like it's the right salary, you know, it's not a back and forth. It's none of that nonsense. It's, I appreciate the offer. I'd love to work for you. But this is what I believe I'm worth based on this market. And I have some facts, right? Make your case. And then just be willing to walk away. Tremendous power. Speaking of salaries, I saw Alex showed me this. You know, sports is big time money. Has Nathan seen this article? If he had, oh, he's seen it. That's unfortunate. I was gonna test Nathan because this is true. Had you got, and I'm Mr. Sports, all right. I watch too much sports. Had you asked me what an NBA mascot makes, I truly would have said 75,000, maybe. This is 82 games. So I was thinking, well, that's a lot of games. All right. Listen to this. The Nuggets, the Denver Nuggets mascot, Rocky, is the highest paid mascot in the NBA. He makes $625,000 to show up to 82 games, wear a really hot costume, and act like an idiot. That's a great gig. There on the screen, look at this. Harry from the Hawks, $600. Benny the Bull, $400. Go the Gorilla, $200. And poor Hugo the Hornet. He's working for low wages.
All right, what if I told you that you could figure out your future for $10? What would you say, Alex? Well, I mean,
wow.
Well, yeah, right? If I told you, hey, for $10, let me add a little something to it. For $10 and 20 minutes, initial 20 minutes of your time, you could get to a place where for maybe the first time in your life, you had at least a general idea of a professional direction you'd want to go. What would you do? Would you do it? Would you spend the $10? Well, folks, the Get Clear Assessment, my signature tool, has sold tens and tens of thousands. It's a 20-minute assessment. It's now available for $10 just in the month of October. RamseySolutions.com or KenColeman.com. It's all part of the mothership. And I'll just tell you very quickly, this is what you're beginning to see the report here. This is a real report. Talent, passion, and mission. What you do best, what you love to do, what results motivate you. And we give you a detailed report. Detailed report. And then give you professional possibilities that are not meant for you to treat as the gospel truth, but just ideating. But more importantly, you get a purpose statement that now becomes for you a high-level job description that you can begin to dive into. And this is what it looks like. You actually get a purpose statement, the top three talents, top three passions, and primary motivational mission. This is a great tool, folks. It's normally $30. It's now $10 at KenColeman.com. Go get it or gift it to somebody. Also, really quick, we are having record growth. And so if you listen to the podcast as well as you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe, share, and maybe give us a rating if you're in the podcast land. That would be grateful. Thank you very, very much. All right, we're going to have a little fun here if we have time. We talked about the new McDonald's Happy Meal for adults. It's just part of our news information. And I thought if we have a little bit of time left, we'll see what the chat room has said about their favorite McDonald's guilty pleasure. Will is up first, though, in Calhoun, Georgia. Will, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm living the dream, Will. What's up?
I just had a quick question for you. I've been in a current role as a insulation flooring manager for about a year and a half now and been previously involved in that same division for probably 7 or 8 years. And recently been approached about a new position as kind of a product manager that is basically an entirely different role that kind of involves, you know, management of the products and then a lot of public speaking, a lot of public relations type, you know, role that's obviously got a different flavor to it than what I've been, you know, dealing with previously. And mm-hmm. just trying to figure out what makes sense and what kind of aligns with the sweet spot like you've described on your show, and trying to figure out if it's something that makes sense or something that I would want to take. And, you know,
and you're calling me because I think you've got a gut feeling,
right?
And I want to know your gut feeling.
My gut feeling is I'm hesitant.
What is making you hesitant? This is what we have to dive into.
Well, number one, I mean, it's obviously a very different role, the public speaking, you know, dealing with a lot of different things that we probably haven't traditionally dealt with. And then,
okay, hold on. So hold that thought. This is great. If you don't mind, I'm going to interrupt a little bit so we can break this down. Hold the thought, though, with the new things. So the new things that it's requiring, I get that that's a little scary because they're new. You mentioned public speaking specifically. The question is, do you have the talent to pull off those new things once training and experience kick in? Do you have the raw talent to be able to do well with these new things that this position would bring and require you to do?
I definitely think I could learn it, yes.
No, I didn't ask if you could learn it. I'm saying, do you think you could be good at it?
That's a tough one.
Well, I get it, but I mean, you need to be really honest with yourself and with me, because we're going to walk right through this. We're going to look at the sweet spot. We're going to look at, do you have the raw talent to do this job well? In other words, the other way I say it is, will this new job allow you to spend 80%, 75% to 80%, the rule of thumb, of your day doing something you're good at? Yes or no?
No.
That's a bad sign.
Right.
Because that now tells me automatically
Right.
That it's not going to allow you to spend 75, 80% of your day doing something you enjoy. Because we humans right. don't like to do things we suck at.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, my disc profile has the presenting piece kind of on the bottom end of the spectrum. And then, you know, this doesn't require, it's not constant, obviously, public speaking, but there is an element to it that it would involve that.
I think the conflict for you is this is a promotion and a raise, and on paper, that looks smart.
Correct. You're hitting the nail on the head.
I know. This is a wrestling match between your head and heart.
Yes, it
is. Your heart says no freaking way, and your head's going, slow your roll, Sparky. We make right. more money. We get a little more prestige, a little more influence. You would be a complete idiot to turn this down. That's what your head's telling your heart.
Correct.
Well, you know what the head does? The head speaks out of fear.
Right.
And in this situation, we've got to trust the heart, because here's what happens. If you take this, and your heart's telling you not to take it, but if you take it because it's a pay bump and it's a influence bump, that's going to wear off. That initial right. high wears off quick. And then you go, what the crap did I do?
Right.
So I think there's another ladder that you need to be on, and maybe you're already on it, so let's keep climbing it. Don't get distracted by the wrong ladder. I mean, that's my encouragement to you. You're not an idiot.
Right. Right.
You're not a moron. You're not a loser. You're not lazy. You're not whatever your brain's telling you. That's just crap.
Right.
But in our world today, Will, I think you're absolutely square in the crosshairs. I'm curious to know if you agree with this analogy. But in our world, you're treated less than if you turn down a promotion, if you turn down an opportunity.
Right. And that's the part that I've kind of been wrestling with, and it doesn't make exact sense, you know?
Yeah. No, listen. There is a unique role that you were created to fill. You are needed. You must do it. And so that means you can't get distracted by what looks to be good, but it's not great. You know, good is the enemy of great when it comes to opportunity.
Right.
And I'm trying to teach my kids that right now. Like, there's coming a day where you have to learn how to separate the good opportunities from the great opportunities. You got to be willing to look a good opportunity in the eye and go, you're a good opportunity, but I know if I take you, that this is going to hinder my ability to get the great opportunity. And it takes tremendous wisdom and tremendous discipline to say no to a good offer, a good opportunity, in order to set yourself up for a great opportunity. And I think that's where you sit right now.
Right. And that's why I just don't want to be disrespectful in the sense of turning down, you know, something that could be an opportunity.
I know we just met. I know we just met, Will, but I don't think you got it in you to be a jerk.
Right.
So stop worrying about it.
Yeah.
You're not going to be disrespectful.
Okay. And what's the trigger to kind of say, hey, this is a good opportunity and this is your sweet spot, and you know, kind of,
I would just say, hey, I'm flattered, I'm honored, thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah.
But as I look through it and I weighed it, it's not the right opportunity for me, and that means it's not the right opportunity for you guys. I'm not the best candidate, and the reason I'm not the best candidate is because this is not my sweet spot. And if you want to explain that to him, you can go, it doesn't allow me to spend most of my day using what I do best to do what I love to produce results that matter to me. They'll understand that language.
Right.
And then, yeah, man, you're just a class act. You go, hey, I really appreciate it. And listen, I mean, most people aren't used to hearing that. But you know, it's actually true. I think we lose sight of the fact that if we take a job that's not a good fit for us, it's also not a good fit for the company. So instead of feeling guilty about taking a pass on a position that's not in your sweet spot, you ought to feel proud to go, hey, I'm not going to lie to you, because I'm not going to lie to myself. And I know you may be disappointed, but I'm telling you, I'm not the best fit. Somebody else is. That's an act of honor. Great call, Will. Appreciate you, man. Hey, don't forget, you matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.